This episode is brought to you by Reese's Peanut Butter Cups. In breaking news, leading scientists worldwide are conducting experiments to determine if Reese's Peanut Butter Cups are the perfect combination of peanut butter and chocolate. However, it appears the study was inconclusive, as the scientists couldn't help but eat all the Reese's. Because when you want something sweet, you can't do better than Reese's. Find Reese's now at a store near you.
Can we start it like, are you recording?
Yeah, I'm recording.
Okay. Can we start it like just casual? Like, this wine tastes really good.
Super casual.
Let's talk.
Well, hi, everybody. I always get surprised. I don't know why. We're here for another episode of Bread and Wine with my lovely wife, Nicole, where we have a conversation about life, money, relationships, all sorts of maybe even awkward conversations about money. And
almost
we do
always
pretty much awkward. Always. I don't know what I'm talking about. But yeah, every Friday, get together, have a conversation. Sometimes we do it with wine, hence the name. And then sometimes we have a plane to catch in a few hours and we are not going to drink during the middle of the day. So cheers to this nice, lovely, what kind of tea is this?
Passion fruit.
Passion fruit tea. Kind of smells like wine.
Yeah,
it does. But not wine. So anyway, what are we talking about today, babe?
All right, we're going to talk about something that I think everyone can relate to, that in the same vein that we always do, something happened this week. Right? and I want to talk about tipping. So here's what happened this week. For work, we rented a car, and all in all, I think, you know, we rented this car from someone and it was like $1,300 for 2 days.
Fancy car.
Yeah, it was. It was a Tesla.
Oh yeah. Tesla.
So, at the end of it all, I get a text message from the person that we rented it from, saying, feel free to tip. Mm-hmm. So the first thing that popped through my head was, oh, I guess I don't rent cars very often, and I've certainly never rented a car off of this website. So, like, is tipping, are you supposed to?
And this wasn't like Enterprise Rent-A-Car or like one of those.
No, it was kind of like the Airbnb of renting cars, right?
Right? Turo, you said, right? Yeah, yeah. Okay.
So, you know, I don't know what etiquette is. And so I asked my boss, because this is not my money, this is the company's money. And I was kind of thinking, oh, okay, tip, feel free to tip. So I guess, you know, it kind of did catch me off guard, because I did not think that's necessarily a service industry kind of thing where you would tip. But, you know, I assumed, okay, well, what would 10% be? Okay, like $130. So I suggested that to my boss, and he said, heck no, $1,300 for 2 days. They got paid.
Right, yeah.
So
they upcharged the big luxury car for 2 days.
Right, yeah, I mean, I guess that does make sense too. But I don't know that there's necessarily etiquette out there for something like this yet.
Right. Yeah, that's true. So new. It's like this app and it's brand new and you don't know. It's not like going to a restaurant where that's pretty laid out in our lexicon of tipping.
Right. Yeah. I mean, you go to a restaurant, you assume you're going to tip 20% as long as there's not, you know, anything horrible, or, you know, we've tipped more than that before too for, you know, holiday time and stuff. But you kind of assume at least 20% for service.
Right.
You assume, you've spoken actually to a tip expert. Tell me about that.
Yeah, that was interesting. It was a few years ago, so I'm totally going to butcher all the details, but totally. 15 to 20% for like restaurants. The one that I always had the difficulty with, and I still do when I go there, is sort of that, I'll call it the Subway or the Panera or the, you know, that sort of fast casual restaurant where they are providing you food, but they are not serving it to you per se. They're essentially, you know, making the order and then somebody's cooking it in the back, and then they flip around the iPad and it says tip or not tip.
That's the worst moment.
And it's like
when did we have to be like put on blast like that? But I honestly think they get more tips.
Oh, for sure. If you ask, you ask, you get, baby. So,
and not only just asking, but there's the additional pressure of the person sitting there looking at you as you are looking
as
at
you're
the
deciding
screen.
To hit 0%.
Right. And you're like, can I tell where my finger's going on the screen?
But anyway, this etiquette person said, don't feel obligated. That is an opportunity for you to say 0% or 10% if they've gone above and beyond, because it's not a typical service. You're sitting down at a restaurant and there's a waiter, and then in those cases, the waiters or the waitresses are paid less on an hourly rate because of their opportunity to get more tips, which is ridiculous in my opinion. But we're not going to solve that today. But anyway, that's always a big conundrum for me.
Okay,
and I still.
So you're drawing a difference between, you know, somebody is getting paid below minimum wage with the expectation that to break even.
Right.
Really, there you have to provide the tip. But you're saying, since the service people that work at Panera, for example, they're getting paid a normal amount. Mm-hmm. Then you don't need to feel obligated, or you personally don't feel obligated.
Well, I feel conflicted all the time, you know, especially as we start to make more money and, you know, build wealth for ourselves. It's like, am I really going to squabble over another dollar or two for this person who's making $7.75 or $8? Right. It's like, oh, dude, just throw in a couple more dollars or whatever, you know? But yeah, it's more of the decision fatigue as opposed to me being stingy, I would say. It's like, okay, well, what's my go? You know how you make a million decisions a day?
Yeah.
It's like, I just want to have that decision made before I go into said store. If I go to Starbucks and I'm like, all right, are they filling up a cup of coffee and then handing it to me? Do I tip at that point? And if I just make that decision ahead of time, then I'm less fatigued, you know? Right. And if I'm like, hey, if I'm always going to tip, I'm always going to tip no matter where I go. Okay, that's cool. Be the always tipping guy. But for me, I always like to know how much I'm going to spend each month, because that makes me feel comfortable as well. So I just have to factor that into our lifestyle. And I don't know, I kind of want to, but also we are now on more of a fixed income than they were in the past. So, and there's lots of other things that we want to do. Will a couple dollars here and there make or break that? I don't know, maybe, because we go out a lot,
yeah,
you know?
Yeah, you add them all up.
If it's five stops of different places a day, a couple dollars here or there, yeah, that could be a lot of money.
When we get deliveries, like, you know, heavy deliveries or something.
Yes.
You know,
that's another one.
Honestly, that could add up to, I would say on average, that could add up to 200 to maybe 500 a month.
Sure.
If it was $5 here,
yeah,
you know, $10 there, 10% everywhere,
yeah,
20% when you go to, you know, a sit down. I honestly would think that would be like a pretty huge line item.
Sure. Well, I mean, it's kind of interesting though that we're talking about this though, because then, you know, one tradition that we like to do during the holidays is as a big tip. So, and we try to do this during the holidays to kind of, you know, bring people up, especially people who are in the service industry, to kind of make them feel good, you know? So would it make more sense for us to just scatter that throughout the entire year instead of that? Or I don't know. That goes back to the selfish feeling of, like, honestly, I don't want to say a big part of it. I really like the big tip Tuesday thing that we do during the holidays, but I'll say selfishly, I like to do it because of the feeling. And I know I'm not supposed to. I should just do it out of the kindness of my heart, but I really like it. I really like being able to make somebody smile. I love the recognition. I'm a words of affirmation guy. For somebody to say, thank you, this made my day, that just warms my heart. So I don't know. Maybe I'm getting off on a tangent here. We are selfish beings, honestly.
But at least somebody else is getting, you know, making out on top of that.
Yes, exactly. Exactly.
Okay. So question about the woman that you interviewed that was a quote unquote tip expert.
Yes.
So she gave you advice on, for example, don't feel obligated to tip at, you know, Panera when they ask for 10, or, you know, you're provided the option to give 10%. Mm-hmm. Now, I wonder if she is basing that on, is that based on what she thinks is the appropriate thing to do? Or is it based on research of what people do in the past based on credit card statements that she has access to?
So for that episode, which I'll link to the show notes and everybody, because it was kind of interesting. I interviewed two people during that show. I interviewed an etiquette expert, and then I also interviewed somebody who works for the credit card companies that says, here's what is actually shown when it comes to that credit card data. And so they gave a little bit more information on things like, do people tip around hairstylists and that information. So I don't have all that data right now, unfortunately, but I think I'll link to that in the show notes for people can see the difference between those two areas. Because yes, there's etiquette of what we say we, should,
we,
do,
we should do,
and then what do actually people do?
Right.
And the general range for the restaurant tipping is around that sort of 15% range. So if you want to be a little bit more generous, 20% is, you know, but this was all 3 years ago as well, too.
I know, so data's changed quite a bit. So if it's based on data, that was kind of right when they started giving prompting on the kiosks for
10%. 3 years ago? I think they've been doing that for a long time.
Have they?
I think so.
Well,
it seems more prevalent now.
Regardless,
yeah,
I think things change over time.
Mm-hmm.
People may be more used to those prompts 3 years later or however many years later. And maybe people are trending to tip more now.
Sure.
So I don't know. I mean, it's just interesting. So coming out of that interview, you and I did kind of, because we didn't want to have this decision fatigue. And we did come out with like a few rules that we said we would kind of follow up by. I do remember one of them, which I like, because now it's like I just know that anytime we're getting a catering order, that we tip 10%.
Yes. Yeah. So that was the difference. That was our family rule that when we go for the Starbucks or the Panera or whatever, we're getting a sandwich or something, we don't have to feel obligated to tip anything. But we do if we do a larger order of a takeaway. So like if we order from La Marsa down the street or whatever, it's a Arabic restaurant where you can get, Middle Eastern restaurant where you can get like large orders, like $60 or $70 worth of food for your family, or $100 if you ever, $200 for a party or something like that. So it's like, okay, they're not serving us at a table, but we're going to go there. They did a lot of work to make it look good. So let's put 10% on that. So that's been a family rule of ours when it comes to food. So 0% for fast casual of that, like Subway, Starbucks, Panera, a couple bucks if you want to, if you're feeling up, you know, feeling generous, 10% for large takeaway catering orders. And then 20% for restaurants, you know, where you get a service.
Yeah.
The other thing, too, is so hairstylists, you know, restaurant at a restaurant. And then there's another, we talked about other things during that interview, too. It's travel, you know, so people often forget. And the etiquette woman, I'm totally forgetting her name. It's so rude. I talked about how one of the most under-tipped things for people in travel is the hotel cleaning staff. And it's so funny that we're talking about this right now. Hotels are having a really difficult time staffing these positions because they're so underpaid. And maybe there's an expectation to get tipped, but they don't.
Right.
So for travel, we try to do better with that. And I know since that interview, I think for business travel, I did a lot better. And I know that we've done that on vacations. You're always good at reminding me, being like, hey, have we put any money lately for the cleaning staff? Right. We just put it on the bed and they take it. We either do it at the end or at the beginning or throughout the week. But a few bucks a day, you know, if you're going to be there for a week, like, you know, what, 20, you know, 25, something like that. Because these folks are working in the service industry. Their tips help.
Tell me about when your first job as a caddy.
Oh yeah, absolutely. Yeah. So I was a caddy when I was, I don't know, maybe 10 or 12 years old, something like that. And they had those big, extremely heavy old bags. This was before like the nice light ping bags, you know, that everybody had. And so I worked at this old country club where I grew up, and they would pay us $3 an hour. And if we made it to the next level, we'd get $3.25, or the next level, we'd get $3.50 or whatever, you know, with the expectation that you'd get these big tips from these rich old people, right? But that was not the case. We would go these four-hour rounds of me being a 12-year-old boy, like carrying this rock bag, and then I'd come away, and some of these old folks would give you a couple bucks after 4 hours, or, you know, I got change one time, and I'm like, oh, wow, this is not working out for me. My goal here was to like be in the sunshine, make a lot of money on tips from rich people, and that did not happen. So yeah. I mean, especially if the hourly rate is lower than than the minimum wage. Oh my God. Yeah.
So I don't think everybody always knows when,
yeah,
you know, when you're supposed to tip, when those people are not being paid.
That's true. That's true.
So maybe those guys just, you know, thought he's getting paid by the golf course. I'm sure it's fine. Here's a couple bucks.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, if you think about it from the employee perspective, I mean, we're out there spending a lot of money, and I know we're all very conscious of our money on the show and everything like that, but there's, in order for to make our society run, we need very helpful people that are doing so much work for us, making our food, cleaning our sheets, whatever, doing our laundry, you know, serving us food at restaurants. And those people are working hard. So if we get the opportunity, if we have the blessings to be able to give more than etiquette, then do it.
We need to channel those situations in our past.
Yes.
To make us feel more generous when we're, absolutely, you know what I mean? And that's why I think it's like the most wonderful idea to make our kids work.
Yes.
And especially in the service industry.
You worked as a waitress for a little while, didn't you?
For like a week. I couldn't hack it. I quit. It was so difficult. Yeah. And when you're serving food that, you know, you work on a table for an hour and a half while they're eating, but the food only cost $10, you're getting a dollar.
Yeah, right.
Or two. Or
$2.
Yeah, $2 is 20%.
Right, that would be generous in our case here, yeah.
But that's, you know, yeah, I couldn't hack it. But I will tell you, I am so kind to the wait staff because of that.
Yeah.
And I always tip 20%, even if I get bad service.
Absolutely.
I do.
Absolutely. Well, I don't know how it works in all the restaurants, but some of that money might go towards other people who worked on your meal too. The bussers, the cooks and things like that too. So
what about, there's so many more legs to this, but we've almost run out of time.
Okay.
So let's just real fast cover a couple of things. How about when you go, you sit at the bar and you're just getting drinks. Do you do 20% when drinks cost sometimes?
Good question.
You know, sometimes your drink bill is just as much as a food bill. But
what do I do? I think I do 10% for drinks at a bar. Or I just do a couple bucks per drink.
Yeah.
Yeah. And it depends. I don't know. I haven't been to the bar a lot lately.
I know. Well, yeah, no, we haven't, but
I went with Todd the other day, and I think I did 20%. I think it was because I was kind of tipsy, though. So I get a little more generous when I'm tipsy.
Okay, I've heard that, though, 10% for just your drinks. But if you get drinks and food, then it becomes 20.
Yes. I like that.
So I also want to cover what happens, or, you know, what's the mental exchange that happens when somebody comps something for you. So for example, when we went out to dinner with your brother, and the gentleman comped half of our bill.
Yeah, that's what Mike said. He was lying.
Okay, so even if he was lying, let's say that did happen. Because we ended up then tipping just as much as the bill.
Yeah.
So
I think that's case,
I would, mental exchange that happens where it's like, maybe you would like, yeah. So what do you do if you get a free drink? You're buying two drinks and they give you one for free. Then do you overtip? Or is that like negating the free drink?
I think it's an opportunity to say thank you to the server, who's, again, probably not making that much money, but was able to do you a solid to repay that because you didn't expect it. And it's the same thing as like if you went into a restaurant with a gift card and your bill ended up being $10 instead of $60, you should still tip on the $60.
Yeah, for sure.
So I see it as the same thing.
But if you were going to buy those two drinks, and let's say it would cost $20, and then you would tip $5, so $25, if you went in there and didn't get any drink for free, $25 for those two drinks. Okay. Now let's say you go in and they give you two drinks for $10, but then you're going to pay $10 or $15 for the tip or whatever. So you're still paying maybe $25. So you're not getting, like, that's my question is, if you then over tip, does that like make it net neutral? Like,
I guess. Okay. It's all psychological. It's crazy.
I know.
That's why the Europeans have it down pat. They don't have to worry about any of that tipping stuff at restaurants.
But again, we're not going to solve that today. Yeah. So the last thing that I wanted to cover before we do key takeaways, because I think it's really interesting, is your brother's philosophy on tipping.
Yeah.
Where, go back to the example of, you know, the cleaning staff at the hotel. Mm-hmm. He'll tip a lot up front.
Yes.
Because he's like, I want my money to work for me.
I like that.
They're going to see the big tip. They're going to give me better service. Mm-hmm. But then I'm not sure he actually continues to tip that same amount throughout the whole stay, but he front loads it. Now, a lot of people are like, well, let me get the service and then let me tip based on the service. Ooh,
good question.
But then it's like you're leaving money at the end and then to your brother's point, you're not really letting the money work for you.
Right? I like that. I like that conundrum because I think I would answer it both ways too, because I've paid people, whether it's a contract or something up front, and then they don't come back. You could have the same thing with maybe a wait. I think we did this on our trip one time. We gave somebody 20. We went with the mic route. We gave him $20 for our first drink.
Yes.
And he didn't come back.
That's right.
Do you remember that? He's like, I got my money. I'm good. I mean, maybe he didn't think that. Maybe he got busy doing other things. Right. But
it sure
psychologically,
not,
he was like, I got the money I'm going to get.
Right.
So I don't know if there's a right answer there.
It's all psychological.
But I like the theory of like, hey, I'm giving you money now. Well, I think maybe the best of both worlds is give money in the front and be able to give it in the end too. Maybe not your full, like I say, I was going to give $100 up front. It's okay. Well, maybe split that 50-50. Then you get the service and then maybe they can come back for more. Because psychologically... Yeah. We're all wired like that, you know, like, I got my money. I'll treat them well, but like, I got the money already, you know?
Right.
I don't know. It's interesting. Like, so you arrive at a restaurant and you got $40, whatever, extra. You're like, all right, I'm giving 20 right now. And just be like, hey, we're going to have a really, really great night or $100, whatever it is. Can you make sure it's special? Yeah, sure. Got his $100. Then do you give more at the end?
Right.
Does he not show up because he's already got it? I mean, maybe he's obligated to the table. I don't know. There's so much there.
I know.
Wow. That is,
I know. And like, if anybody like listens to this show often, you'll know that I have like anxiety just. And so like all of this tipping, this is just in true form. Like,
I think I have decision fatigue
and anxiety about like tipping or not tipping all day long.
Okay. Well, let's do takeaways because I think that'll help. And I'll start with number one. I think number one, based on that feeling that you have, I think you just, number one, make a decision on what your rules are personally and whether you're going to listen to this episode that I'll share in the show notes on what people do and what the etiquette says. It's great for frame of reference, but I think it's more important for you just to make up your own rules and stick with them. That way you are letting your mind relax because no matter what you do, you're going to be wrong either way in some people's minds. Right. I mean, nobody's ever going to say that's perfect. You're doing it perfectly. You're either not giving enough or you're giving too much or whatever. So just decide what is right for you and be done with it.
Agreed. Okay. And I would say my key takeaway is, if you do have kids or if you yourself have worked in the industry, the, customer service industry, number one, I would say tap into that if you have ever done it, or at least like just empathize, because I do think a lot of times we don't really realize that they're not getting paid very much. And that's just the way our society has chosen to treat, you know, or pay the service industry. We can't necessarily change that. So let's work within those confines and put our empathy forward when we're in those situations where we can tip. And then if you do have kids, like I fully plan on making our kids work when they're 15, 16, as soon as they can, because I think that's experience that will stay with you and create a generous mindset for your life.
Love that. I'm glad you and I are on the same page with that. I think we both worked as teens, mm-hmm. and so many of those lessons have shaped the types of bosses I want, the types of experience, the type of jobs I never want to have again. And it's good. All right. So number three, if you don't have, you know, a bunch of extra money to go above and beyond and make people's day because these people are working so hard, that's okay too. Don't feel bad about that. What you can do though is treat people in the service industry with just like that. They're like, they're golden, that they are literally making your food, taking care of your kids, whatever, doing your laundry, all of the important things. So if you don't have the financial means, you definitely have the ability to treat them like gold. Just treat them nicely, treat them better than you want to be treated. Thank them over and over again. Because one thing that I like to do, and again, it's probably because I'm a words of affirmation guy, is to say their name, because they have a name tag on for a reason. Sometimes I've said somebody's name who's in the grocery store line that looks like they're having a horrible name, and I say their name and their eyes perk up like somebody just, I don't know, made their day just by saying their name. So a smile, saying somebody's name, you know, thanking them for their service, I think that can go a long way. You know, if you don't have a buco bucks to throw around and have a good time. So it's probably a little bit of my Dale Carnegie stuff, but it works. Maybe that's why it resonates with me too. So
I like that.
Awesome.
A positive attitude as a, you know, tip if you can't afford to do it with money.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
A combination of both. Is
yeah.
Best.
I mean, that's what we've got. The society that this society can only work in that fashion. And it really, we've got to go out of our way to do great things for our neighbors, honestly.
Pay it forward.
Absolutely. Right. Well, cheers, everybody. Thank you, everybody, for showing up. We got Carlos here. Carlos, you're the man. Got to shout you out every episode, my friend. And we also have Influential Finance and Inspired Money, two guys that I know very well from YouTube as well as podcasting. Thank you both for being here. And Influential Finance says, if you give the bartender a good tip, he or she will hook you up when the bar is crowded. I like that one. That's true. It's very true.
Dwight Schrute tipping rules. I'm going to have to look those up. I bet those are hysterical.
Are they probably stingy?
Tip with beets.
Right. Yes, exactly. tip with extra vegetables from my garden. Right. Absolutely. But thank everybody. Thank you, everybody, for being here. We're having a lot of fun doing this. If you want to contribute, please do that here on the YouTube stream at youtube.com/marriagekidsandmoney. Not everybody can join live. That's okay. If you want to hit me up on social media at Andy Hill MKM and let us know what you think of the show or any ideas you want in the future. We're having a lot of fun doing this, and we will be here again next week. Nicole and I are going on a little vacay.
Whitewater rafting. Hopefully we come back alive.
We're going whitewater rafting. We'll see. All right. Cheers, have a good everyone. One, everybody. Bye.